Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Very important passage. Would you stand with me as we read God's word together? Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day. Another day to rejoice, another opportunity at life. Help us not to look at the negative, but at the positive. The fact that we woke up, the fact that we have ears to hear, and that we have the privilege of reading your word, knowing that you love us and that you have mercy on us. Thank you. We pray as our act of worship right now to bring you glory by listening to your word and applying it to our heart. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You can be seated. This morning we continue in our series entitled Building Character, and today's message is, I called it, Let It Go. Let It Go. In our series so far, we have looked at some vital components of God's character and the godly character we are to have as a result. We looked at self-discipline, humility, integrity, boldness, and compassion. As I've prayed about the subject, I want to lead you to consider those traits that are most important to God. Now, to some extent, every sermon every pastor preaches has something to do with godly characteristics. Which ones are most vital, most important to God, and should be most important to us? What characteristics did Jesus have that we should reflect in our own lives? So today we will see in Scripture something that distinguishes Christianity from so many of the religions in this world, a character trait that defines God and describes the very reason that Jesus came to earth. And I'm talking about the ability simply to let things go, to forgive and forget. To do that, to really do that, is perhaps the most difficult thing that we do in our life. It's a hurdle that many never overcome. They live with unforgiveness all of their life, and it piles up on them. It stops us from living in freedom and from ever becoming truly Christ-like. So I have just two truths I want to give you this morning concerning forgiveness. And the first is this. Forgiveness is hard. I know I shared previously in some of the other characteristics that we're supposed to have as believers in Christ that it's difficult. Forgiveness is extraordinarily difficult. It's hard. We don't want to forgive, but just psychologically, it's difficult for us to move past certain things that happened in our life. Nowhere does the Bible say it's easy. Nowhere does the Bible promise you that as Christians, though we get to live in peace, and we should be at peace because of Jesus Christ, but that doesn't mean our life is going to be simple or easy. It is not. The world that we live in is not simple or easy. Being a Christian isn't for wimps. It's not something you and I can do simply casually or part-time. Forgiveness is hard. You've been wronged. Someone has hurt you deeply and wounded you. And by the way, let me begin by clarifying what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness does not mean that we pretend. It does not excuse or minimize wrongful behavior, and so we just pretend they didn't do this to us. That's not what forgiveness is. It does not always require that we proceed as though nothing ever happened, because there are definitely consequences for our sins. Someone commits a terrible crime against another person, And there are very real consequences for that behavior. Even if the victim or victims forgive that person, they may still be incarcerated for years, for example, because of the crimes that they commit. There are terrible wrongs in our world. Although most of the wrongs that are committed against you and I are not illegal, still we are wounded because of those things that are committed against us. But when God forgives us, it's a removal of that sin. It's a removal of the anger and the bitterness that sin can cause. Not just our own sin, that can result in bitterness, but somebody else's sin can result in bitterness in our own life if we don't release it to God. And God loves us. He doesn't want us to be in that. Forgiveness is a gift offered freely by God to us. We have to accept that gift, but it is a gift. It is knowing that God will never bring it up again or hold it against us in the future on Judgment Day. God releases us from that offense completely through Christ. During season 4 of The Chosen, Peter comes to Jesus with a question about forgiveness. The question actually took place in Matthew chapter 18, which is our passage for today that I just read to you. But we don't actually know the context of why Peter asked this question to Jesus. But we can conclude from the passage that Peter wants to know the limit of forgiveness. And I think it's very important to understand that when Peter asks, how many times do I need to forgive somebody? And then he puts out the number 7. He's not asking for the maximum. He's not going to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to know how many times do I get to forgive somebody? I want to forgive them as many times as possible. How many times can I forgive them? No, I don't think that's what, I don't think that's what Peter's asking. He wants to know the other limit. Jesus, what's the minimum? How many times do I have to forgive somebody? Because after the forgiveness is over, after they reach the limit, then you can hate them and condemn them and slander them, right? So he's asking Jesus for his limit, just like we do as kids. We want to know where the boundaries are with our parents. How many times can I do this before I get a whipping or before I get grounded or before I get in trouble? We want to know the minimum. And that's what Peter wanted to know as well when he went to Jesus. Of course, Jesus turned it over on its head. Again, we don't know why Peter asked the question, but we can conclude from the passage that Peter wants to know what his limit is. He wants to know when it's okay to not forgive. So let me read the two verses to you again. This is Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. It says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Now, he doesn't want to know about when he sins against others. Did you notice that also? No, he wanted to know about people who are sinning against him. Up to 7 times, he says. And Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times, completion infinite amount of forgiveness. Again, since we don't know the exact context around this question, the Chosen series speculates that Peter has an issue with Matthew because Matthew had been a tax collector before he became a disciple. And no doubt the disciples have, I guarantee, they discussed it. They talked about that issue, that how could a tax collector be chosen to be a disciple of Jesus? They almost certainly confronted Matthew at some point and said to Matthew, Matthew, how could you? How could you do that? How could you work for the Romans? How could you betray your own people like that? So while we don't know that Peter had a personal beef with Matthew over his chosen profession, it seems reasonable that he or some of the disciples would have had a problem with that. So I want to show you a scene from The Chosen that I didn't get to show you during my series on The Chosen. And here, Peter can't sleep. And by the way, one of the ways that you know you have unforgiveness, you can't sleep, keeps you up at night, All right? Nobody who's truly forgiven lays awake worrying about it because you've released it. There's something beautiful about forgiving people, by the way. It helps you. It helps you sleep. So he can't sleep, and so he goes to Jesus in his anger and his unforgiveness concerning Matthew, and he goes and asks that question. Watch this.
Peter, it's pretty late.
I could say the same to you.
I suppose you could.
Something keeping you up?
Could I ask the same of you?
What do I do when there is someone who has sinned against me, egregiously, repeatedly, and without repentance?
Can't imagine who that would be.
The betrayal of our people by working for Rome, that was one thing. That was a sin against all of us and our heritage. Well, he showed no mercy when Andrew begged him for extra time on his tribute debt and even charged an extra 60% on what was past due. Yeah, he was gonna let Rome seize our boat as collateral, which would have taken our ability to work and landed us both in jail, meaning Eden could have starved. He didn't even hesitate for a moment when Quintus asked him to spy on me. I'm up to 7. And I haven't even gotten to the fact that he was fully ready to turn me in the morning that...
The morning that what?
You know.
I do. He may have been ready to turn you in, but it didn't come to that. So for the moment, let's keep it at 7, the number of completion.
He sins against me 7 times, and I'm supposed to just forgive that.
No, not 7, but 77 times.
I could stack him up that high if I really broke down each offense and the consequences.
You know, I don't mean literally 77 times. 70 times 7, completion times completion, endless forgiveness. Without limits.
Look, a couple of days ago, you gave me a new name and made big proclamations. But whether my name is Simon or Peter, I'm still the same man I was the day before that. I'm still human. And I can't do it. I can't. And no one would blame me.
You mentioned the consequences of Matthew's actions. Remember the circumstances they put you in?
Yeah, that's all I can think about. That's why I'm out here and not asleep next to Eden.
But after that, when the sun rose, I know it's hard.
Why does everything have to be?
Man makes it much harder when he leans on his own understanding.
I I'll leave you alone now.
I love that scene. Endless forgiveness. That's hard. And we're a lot like Peter, breaking the stick. That's not actually in the passage, by the way, but it looks like Peter breaking the stick and throwing it just like a kid because we don't want to forgive. Forgiveness is hard. And there's something that somebody has done to you that you have not forgiven. I want you to consider today, and it may have been something huge or it may have been something small that just got on, under your skin like a splinter, and it's just been there and been there and been there, and you have never forgiven it. I want to challenge you to forgive today. Forgiveness is hard. But secondly, forgiveness is also essential. I cannot understate this. And the Bible makes it very clear, Jesus makes it very clear that forgiveness is essential. When I mean essential, I mean essential. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, this is during the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Now, I have to ask you, this is a rhetorical question, do you want your sins forgiven? Because while other people do bad things to us, we do bad things too. We say things we shouldn't say to people. We have a tone and an attitude that we shouldn't have. We have behaviors around people that don't honor God at all. We say and do things that are sin. We wrong others, we wound others, whether we realize it or not, we'll justify it just like the people that sin against us justify that sin against us. But God calls us to forgive. And there it is in the passage. The Bible doesn't get any more plain than that. He says, if you forgive others, God the Father will forgive you. If you don't forgive others, then God won't forgive you either. Do you want God to forgive you when we do things that bring judgment, that fall short of God, that separate us from our Savior, that harms us in our relationship with God, but also harms us in our relationship with other people? Sin that keeps us out of heaven. You want Him to forgive you? Then you must forgive others. You must. It's not an option. We have to do it. And for some people, Christianity is just too hard. We'd rather live in our bitterness and our anger and our hatred. Many Americans do. Many people in this world do. It's all they think about all day, every day. They get on the social media and they just spew hatred, hatred, hatred. And they say, well, you know, if it was this president or that congressman or this government or that government, then it'd be different. No, it won't be. We don't have a government problem. We have a heart problem. That's why Jesus died. He didn't die for a political party. He died for the redemption of everyone. We have to be willing to forgive. So let grievances go. Let hurt go. Let bitterness go. And by the way, and I always try to mention this, I'm not telling you to repress it, that you take that hurt and you bury it deep down in your heart somewhere. And this is what we do. We don't realize, we don't consciously say, well, you know, I'm just going to push it back. But that's what we end up doing. You repress it. But it's still there. It's still there. And then a year later, 10 years later, 30 years later, it spews out on somebody. It may spew out on the person that hurt you, or it probably most often spews out on somebody that doesn't even know that that happened. But you get into conflict with them, or for whatever reason, here it comes. So I'm not asking you, God's not telling you to repress it. He's telling you to release it, to let it go. And again, I said that's very hard. Release it altogether. So it's important that we do that. It's so important that it's a part of the Lord's Prayer. Just a few verses later, after the verse I shared with you a while ago, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. He says, as we're praying, we're supposed to say this, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Some translations will say it this way, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us for the things that we have done wrong as we forgive others who have wronged us. So why is forgiveness so essential? Because it is the defining characteristic of God. Can't say anything else. God is a forgiving God. Our very lives and existence depend upon it. Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments. When he did that, as you know famously, there at Mount Sinai, he saw a rather shocking sight. Instead of having a prayer meeting, they were all having a really good time. He witnessed that they had made a sculpture, a god, a false god, a golden calf. And when we talk about the golden calf figuratively, this is literally. They fashioned a cow out of gold. And even more amazingly, they started worshiping the cow. And while they were worshiping the cow, they had a big orgy. So Moses comes down. He's got the Ten Commandments. And there he sees that sight. Makes him so mad. What does he do? Yeah, he takes those stone tablets and casts them down and busts them all to pieces. Destroyed them. Well, God was mad too. In fact, he killed at least, I think it was 3,000 that night as he brought judgment on them. Well, after that was over, now what do you do? Where do you go from there? I mean, what do you do post-golden calf? You can get rid of the calf, but you got a problem among the people. So Moses, do you know what he did? He didn't know what to do. He had set up, this is pre-tabernacle, he had set up a tent, a special tent where he would go meet with God. It was just outside the camp, and everybody could see Moses going over to the tent. Every time that Moses wanted to talk with God and consult God, he went over to the special tent. And Moses called it the tent of meeting where he met with God, and I like that. He didn't do anything else in that tent. He didn't multitask. He didn't get on his phone and look at social media. While he was in the tent, he didn't daydream, he didn't sleep. He went to the tent because he had business with his God. By the way, this is what we're supposed to do in worship. We're here to worship God, nothing else. Nothing else. Here to worship God because he's worthy of our worship. And you and I tend to have problems in our life just like Moses did. And so it's really important that we spend some time with our Maker to find out what it is he wants us to do in life, how he wants us to go about life this week, because there are things that are going to happen this week you're going to need some advice about. And so he went in there to meet with God, and while he's meeting with God, God says, okay, here's what you need to do, Moses. He says, I want you to make a couple of more tablets. He says, bring them back up and I will write on them the Ten Commandments again, the commandments again. So that's exactly what Moses did. The next day, it says, he sculpted these tablets, went back up Mount Sinai. Now, by the way, Moses is 80 years old. Why is it the sins of others end up being hard work for us? Just like my sins end up being hard work for somebody else. And so he goes back up. God inscribes the Ten Commandments on the tablets again. And then Moses has an interesting conversation with God. While he's up there, he has this conversation. And we studied about this recently, but not this part. I did not mention this part. This is a very important part. While he's up there, he says to God, show me your glory. While you're there, might as well. Might as well get to see some glory. Apparently, God inscribing 10 commandments wasn't enough. Moses, apparently talking to God and having God talk to him, he wanted a little more. That's good, God, but I want to see a little more. Can I see your glory? And God said to Moses, okay, I'll tell you what, I will do that. I'm gonna pass by you, he says, and you can't see my face because nobody can survive, but I will let you see the back of me as I walk by. And so I'm gonna hide you in this cleft of this rock so when I pass by. And so that's exactly what he did. After making the two more tablets and inscribing the Ten Commandments, God passed by. But did you know that when God passed by Moses, he said something? Do you remember what God said? He's passing by. Now, Moses didn't ask him to talk while he was passing by. That would have been enough. But while God is passing by Moses, he actually speaks. This is Exodus chapter 34, verse 4. And so Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first one and went up on Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, here's what he said, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, listen to this part, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. God says, Moses, what you need to do is not see me and just see my glory. You need to understand my character. And what kind of character does your God have? Your God is slow to anger, abounding in love, and willing to forgive sin. That's him. Because that's who he is. That's who we are to be as his creation. So forgiveness is an essential part of God, of his characteristic. And so it has to be an essential part of God's people. Peter knew that he had to forgive. Now, we don't know who his beef was against. It's reasonable, again, to speculate that it would be Matthew. We don't know. But he also struggled with the reality that living faith in Christ isn't always easy. But we have to trust God at his word. We have to do it anyway. He says to forgive, we have to forgive. And we don't know what Peter said to Matthew, but maybe it was something like this. Watch this scene.
I forgive you. It's all forgotten. To the ends of the earth, right? It's over.
Forgiveness is not easy, but we have to do it. God forgave us, we have to forgive others. So today, perhaps there's someone you need to forgive, or perhaps you need forgiveness. They go hand in hand. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul says it this way, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." As we forgive, God forgives us. Will you forgive today? Will you let it go, release it, and no longer hold it against them? It's hard, but it's essential to your life and your freedom in Christ. Do you need forgiveness from God or from somebody else? Do you need to go to someone and say, "Hey, you know, I said this or I did this, and I know that probably hurt you. I shouldn't have done that." If you'll acknowledge your sin before God and ask in Christ, He will forgive you. Who do you need to forgive today? Pray with me. Father, we come to you right now and we acknowledge that there is a lot of water under the bridge in our life. There is so many relationships that we've had, so many people we've met, so many people we know, some of them we don't know. Maybe somebody we met in passing at Walmart or at a restaurant or on the highway, and we hold anger toward them for what they said or did to us. Maybe it's not in passing. It's somebody that we've known all of our life or for many years, and they have deeply wounded us. We're asking for your help right now, that you give us strength to say, "Lord, I forgive them. I'm not just going to repress it or hide it or ignore it. I'm going to release it. Lord, I give it to you. This person hurt me. I give it to you." Help us to remove that weight from our shoulders, or even better, let you remove that weight from our shoulders through forgiveness. Help us. Now, Father, we come to you also today and we acknowledge that we sin against others, but also against you. And right now, we repent of that sin. We ask for your forgiveness. Cleanse us. Make us pure again. Through the name of Jesus. As you're praying, no one's looking around, can I challenge you this morning? It may be, kids, somebody that hurt you at school, or adults, someone that hurt you at work, somebody that you know and have known for a very long time, and they hurt you, and you have been quietly harboring feelings of bitterness. You don't want good for them in their life. You want retribution. You want retaliation. You want judgment. You wish for bad things for them. And the world is full of that. Get on social media and all the trash talk all the time. Everybody's burning everybody. Don't be a part of that. I challenge you to pray right now, "God, forgive me for those times I've flamed people online, said things I shouldn't said, or gossiped about them. Help me to forgive and never bring it up again. Release it completely." Will you do that? It may be that some of you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. You need to surrender to Him and ask for His forgiveness. The Bible says if you will confess your sins, He will be faithful to forgive you. If you'll confess Him as Lord, and a part of that confession is repentance, and say, "I need a Savior. I believe you died for me for my sins, and I want to receive that gift of salvation." Maybe you just want to come and kneel and ask God to give you the strength to forgive somebody in your life that has harmed you, that you've been struggling with for a long time. Release it to Him today. Don't walk out those doors with that on your heart. Release it to your God. Or if you just want to come and say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to surrender to Him. That's all you have to say, and we'll go from there. God is leading right now. This is your opportunity. Would you stand? All heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, and as we stand right now, as we pray right now, you come.